Talk about our health. Have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I recently saw a video he made and I was shocked. He's in his 80s and still kicking butt and working out and staying active. What's even more shocking is he's stronger and can work out longer and even has plenty of energy left over for his grandkids. He did this by just making one change. He says he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this one thing too and she's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger. Her body looks leaner and she has energy all day. Chuck made a special video that explains everything. Make sure you watch it by going to chuckdefense.com/X22 or click the link down below in the video. It will change the way you think about your health. Once again, that's chuckdefense.com/X22 and click on the link in the description below to watch the video now. You won't believe how simple it is. Just a reminder, the legendary Chuck Norris is a whopping 81 years old and yet has more energy than me. He discovered he could create dynamic changes to his health simply focusing on three things that sabotage our body as we age. Watch this method by clicking the link in the description box below. That is chuckdefense.com/X22. Hi, and welcome to the X22 Report Spotlight. Today we have a returning guest, Mark Fincham. Mark is running for the Arizona Senate. He just won the primary there. He's Trump endorsed. He also runs the Election Fairness Institute at goefi.org. And I am very happy to have Mark on the X22 Report Spotlight. Mark, welcome back to the Spotlight.
Thank you very much, Dave. It's great to be on your show again.
Hey, thanks for being here. And I just wanted to talk about what's happening with Tina Peters, because right now she's on trial. And basically, she was charged with attempting to influence a public servant, identity theft, criminal impersonation, basically telling everyone that there was election fraud. So they brought all these charges against her because, again, they don't want people out there saying, hey, look, there's problems with the elections. We also see this happening out in Georgia. There's also a case out there. But you've been sitting in on the case with Tina Peters. And what have you seen and what are your observations and what's going on there?
Yeah. At a high level, probably, let's just start at the 30,000 foot view.
Sure.
While Tina Peters is in the courtroom, the Colorado election system is actually on trial. And one of the things that is stunning to me after hearing a couple of days of testimony and the, quite frankly, juvenile behavior of the prosecution, I mean, every single little thing, filing it, I object to this, object. And I would say at least 50%, if not more, of the time, the judge is like, no, I'm going to overrule your objection. What's more, I think, important is watching the response of the jury. I don't think they've got a jury that'll convict her. I'm going to be very surprised if she's convicted. And by the way, she's not on trial. This is the weird thing about this whole case. She's not on trial for protecting the record, which, by the way, is her duty under federal and state law to protect voting records, whether electronic or paper, for a period of time subscribed by law. Now, in federal and U.S. code, section 20701, it is 22 months post-election. Okay. In I've come to learn in Colorado, 25 months. So what Tina saw coming down the road when the Secretary of State, who arguably is in office illegitimately because of the tampered with election that got her into office, what Tina suspected was going to come is that there would be an obliteration, a destruction of the records that she had an affirmative duty to protect. So she went through the process, went through the administrative process of reaching out to the county IT department, say, hey, I need to have an image made of the main tabulation computer because I'm concerned that when the Secretary of State pushes this so-called trusted build, that the records that I have a duty to protect are somehow going to be obliterated or destroyed. Well, the county IT department told her, no, it's state equipment. We're not going to mess with it. Well, okay, but it's not. It's county equipment. We're under contract with a company called Dominion for them to supply the equipment. Well, there's a interagency agreement with the Secretary of State and yada. I mean, gave all kinds of reasons why they could not simply do an image of the hard drive to protect the records that were currently sitting on it at the time. So she went to the next level up of technical services and asked them to make an image. And they said, "Oh no, it's state equipment. We're not going to touch it." Well, the fact of the matter is, it's not state equipment. It's a contract between Mesa County, Colorado, and Dominion. Yes, the very same Dominion that is in the news suing everybody and anybody who questions whether their equipment is, shall we say, certified, legitimate, tampered with, all of the other things, for example, in Georgia, the curling case. So you've got two IT departments now who have denied her simply making an image of the hard drive. This is not a complicated thing to do, but creating a forensic image does take time, and it does take the right equipment, the right talent, the right know-how. So she had no choice as the county clerk responsible for protecting those records to go outside of her jurisdiction. Not her responsibility, but outside of Mesa County. She contracted with somebody who ultimately made a forensic image of that hard drive. And in the fullness of time, we come to find out that indeed her fears were realized, that the trusted build essentially erased every record that was on that computer. Now, she tells me that there's something like 20,000 records. All right, so let's stop and pull that apart for a moment. There are 62 counties in Colorado. I think 60 of them use Dominion equipment. 60 of them were affected by this so-called trusted build, which was coming direct from Dominion, certified or approved by the Secretary of State in Colorado. So, and keep in mind that each record is an individual occurrence of the crime under Section 20701. So you have just in Mesa County 20,000 crimes that Jenna Griswold is responsible for. Multiply that times 60 counties. And by the way, Mesa County is a fairly small county. So there are a few that are smaller, but the majority of the counties around Boulder and Denver, Durango, those are larger counties with larger population, and that means more records. So we're talking about hundreds of thousands of election records that Jenna Griswold was responsible for supporting the county recorders, the county clerks. She's ultimately the one that gave the order to deploy the software, which ultimately destroyed the record. Now, that's one aspect of the case. Interestingly enough, that's not what Tina's being tried for.
Interesting.
In other words, she's being sideswiped for a whole bunch of other things. One of those was intimidating a public official. Well, okay, that's a straw man case that makes absolutely no sense. Allegedly, the individual that she allegedly intimidated actually worked for her. Okay, so hold on a second. If that individual works for the county clerk, and the county clerk ultimately is responsible for signing off on an election, where's the intimidation?
Right.
Makes absolutely no sense. And then, of course, it's been revealed in testimony that a fellow by the last name of Woods is a pathological liar. He's committed so much perjury in this case that, quite frankly, he should be charged criminally with perjury. What they didn't know, the prosecution had, and this is kind of inside baseball, the prosecution had excerpts from a Signal conversation back and forth between Mr. Woods and Tina Peters and a lady by the name of Sharona Bishop. Well, what they don't know is that Ms. Peters, Clerk Peters, has the entire string, not just excerpts, the entire string that demonstrates that Mr. Woods is a pathological liar and has committed serious perjury on more than one occasion. In fact, even at the grand jury stage where the indictments were issued. So, getting to the place where they're at today, I think that just observing the jury, it appears to me that the jury is asking, why are we here? They really have become, I think, some of them are disengaged. Two of them, I noticed, were taking copious notes. So that tells me that they are very suspicious of what is going on with the prosecution. And you know, the big takeaway for me 2 days ago was there's people that worked for Tina Peters that didn't like Tina Peters. So it really has boiled down to a rather juvenile display of either jealousy or anger that these individuals better check their moral compass, because you're talking about throwing somebody in prison for 10 years just because you had a personality conflict with them. And that, I think, is utterly despicable from some of the people that were on the stand, some of the witnesses. These are individuals who were in a position of trust, and they abandoned that position of trust at the very time when the clerk was doing something that some people knew would be unpopular with the administrative state, because it would ultimately catch them in doing what they've been accused of doing all over the country.
Yeah, I think we're starting to see that pattern. When you look at Arizona, you look at Georgia, and what I noticed is that they don't want to produce the records. And if this is supposed to be an election of the people should be able to see the original records to make sure that the elections were on the up and up. But the cover-up tells you a lot, that if you're trying to destroy information, if you're trying to keep information, it tells you that they're hiding something.
Right.
And I think.
Well, it's gone further than that.
Okay.
It's not just about destroying information. Now, to keep the big lie a big secret, they're willing to destroy people. And that's what they're doing right now with Tina Peters. And it's quite frankly the same thing. This is wash, rinse, repeat. It's the same thing that we've seen with President Trump in multiple states. You've got charges that have absolutely nothing to do with politics, the political process, but everything to do with interfering with the political process and for scaring people away who call question. Tina Peters is, in my view, is an American hero, and she's an unsung hero in the whistleblower world. She blew the whistle on what Dominion was up to, and the reason for the trusted build, they would say, well, that was to prepare for a new election. Okay, so if you know that you're going to destroy records in violation of federal law, there should be part of that system, or part of that trusted build initiative should be to preserve the records, not to destroy them. And therein, I think, Dominion has a certain, role, potentially in a future prosecution of the destruction of records. Because keep in mind, when an organization, a private company, is under contract with the government, they become that government's agent. Whoa.
Yeah.
Now we got a problem. Well, they got a problem. And I think that to your point, Dave, this is what they're trying to cover up. The cover-up's always worse than the crime, by the way.
Yeah, it really is.
Because that shows absolute clear intent. And I think that there are going to be some prosecutors. There are going to be perhaps the Secretary of State, maybe other individuals in the state of Colorado who are on the radar for a future U.S. attorney to examine their behavior and their malicious use of prosecution in order to cover up what I believe is the crime, not just of the century, but the crime of the perhaps the greatest crime that we have experienced as a nation since our founding.
So let me just ask you this. Why do you think they went after? I mean, they could have just said, okay, the elections are over. We destroyed the records. Why did they decide to go after her? Are they making an example of her where, do not try this in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. They want to send a clear message to everybody in the not just in the state of Colorado, by the way, everybody around the nation. This really is very much seems like Dominion is driving this.
Okay.
It does not seem like this is being driven by just the Secretary of State's office and just the Attorney General's office. These charges that they've made are about as flimsy as it gets. I mean, toilet paper in a hurricane is kind of the best thing I can, a single sheet, by the way. So what I think we're seeing here is a psychological warfare operation that is designed to demonstrate the power of a state administrative apparatus coming against an individual that they have jurisdiction over. That's why I say this is, even though Tina Peters may be sitting in the defendant seat, this trial really is about the Colorado election system. If they are able to intimidate and crush an individual financially, emotionally, psychologically, and impact potential future, I'm going to call them patriots, people who are whistleblowers, that will pay great dividends in future cover-ups. And I think that that's what we're headed towards, at least in Colorado, for the 2024 election. You know, keep in mind that the Democrat Party, just the word, using the word Democrat doesn't make them Democrats. In fact, they've engaged in perhaps the most undemocratic behavior over the last 5, 6 years, 8 years. It's really come to a fine point just in the last several months. They use this catchphrase, defend democracy. Well, when are you going to start? Exactly. Because you're attacking the democratic process at every turn. But then again, this is Saul Alinsky tactics. This is, you know, a very Stalinesque government. And then it's disclosed. Let's talk a little bit about the judge. Right. Been disclosed, Yehuda Miller. Good work on him, man. People want to follow him out on X or Twitter or whatever they call it these days. He outed the fact that this judge was fired as a DA.
Really?
Yeah. And as a judge, has been reprimanded for misbehavior from the bench. So I got to be wondering, is this guy thinking when he's sitting up there, God, why did I catch this case of all cases? Why? But, you know, I think that as we look at the behavior of the judge, I think that he has made an effort to appear to be unbiased. I mean, he's ruled in Ms. Peters' case or in her favor a couple of times. He's ruled in favor of the prosecution a couple of times. What is very disturbing to me, though, is that when somebody is in the fight for their freedom, their life, for a judge to exclude evidence that is exculpatory, that means that evidence shows that the prosecution doesn't have what they think they have. I think that that is a reversible error. I think that that ultimately, and I don't have any faith, by the way, in the Colorado court system. You've got a Supreme Court that essentially tried to keep President Trump off the ballot. So right. That means that they have been fully co-opted. They don't know how to read jurisprudence. And quite frankly, it really does not reflect well on the judicial environment in the state of Colorado, not trustworthy. And once again, they're going to use the courts for a political process. We're seeing this all over the country. So I think that as we look at the motivation for persecution, I'm not going to call it prosecution. This is persecution. I think that to your point, this is all about scaring off anybody who might ever question elections in the future.
So what evidence didn't they allow? What did they say you couldn't produce?
I don't know.
Okay, so nobody.
But it was a significant stack of papers. I want to say that it was. It appeared to be about an inch thick, and there were briefs that were provided to the court in advance. I think they were under seal because we don't really know what that evidence is, but it could not be presented to the jury. Now, I'm told that it's exculpatory evidence that shows that Tina was not intimidating people. The testimony's already come out that when there was, and by the way, this wasn't about the presidential election. Okay. The thing that tipped this whole thing off was actually a local election that people had some significant concerns about, because the results came out to the opposite of what the community recognized as their front-running leadership. So what Tina engaged in was a very responsible due diligence process to bring in her team, because as the clerk, she's responsible for elections. So she has a deputy clerk who's just responsible for the elections piece of that environment that she is elected to represent. Well, when the word went out that, hey, something's wrong with our election, we don't know if it's the machines or the ballots or what's going on, but the count didn't come out as expected, and we think that there is a problem. Okay, well, that launched a due diligence pursuit by the clerk, and she began to call the various individuals, you know, as they're walking through the process, which, by the way, is a very Six Sigma-like process review. Let's start from the beginning. We've already got the process defined, so let's understand the various components of the process. And when there is a question to whether there's a defect in that particular component, you bring in the players and you discuss, okay, did this go according to plan? Are there any irregularities? Did those irregularities have any impact in the result? Those are the kinds of questions that should be asked as a matter of a due diligence pursuit. And that's what she was doing. Well, for an employee to raise the question of whether they were intimidated or not, well, quite frankly, it's irrelevant. You have a job assignment. You've been asked in within that job assignment, did things go according to plan? Now, they wanted to hang their hat on an email that Clerk Peters sent out explaining to her staff, look, there's been some questions raised. There are now questions being asked by the Attorney General and by the Secretary of State. You're not obligated to answer those questions. You don't have to speak with them. We are conducting our own internal investigation. This is a normal thing, quite frankly, that I might even send out to say, until I better understand what has happened here, what the allegations are, whether there is any evidence of either wrongdoing or misadministration, maladministration. I really would prefer that we not discuss this, even with law enforcement, until we know what has happened internally. And then if there is, because people probably don't think about this, when you begin to impugn the reputation of somebody who's working for you, and I think Clerk Peters took this very seriously, you could ruin their career if you're wrong. So she took the time to be methodical, to bring in all the players, to ask them questions, to better understand if there was, because there was an allegation of something wrong. Okay, so let's get to the bottom of it. Well, for somebody to say, well, I was intimidated by that, that's kind of like the left saying, oh, I was triggered by the color pink. Well, okay, that's your problem. That's not the problem of the people.
Right. You know what I find out with all these cases? I mean, I'll just include January 6th in this. I feel like they basically go after everyone with all these ridiculous charges, and they make this huge production out of it, like with the cases in Arizona with Carrie and Abe and the rest, yours, and out in Georgia. And all of this can easily be solved just by saying, okay, listen, we think there's fraud. There's something's wrong with the elections. All you have to do is produce the original ballots, compare it to the Dominion results, and that's it. But it feels like what they have to do is they have to go around all this, even with January 6th. There's no one brought up in charges for insurrection. It was all these other ridiculous things because they knew they couldn't bring them up on charges for insurrection. So it feels like let's talk about your health. If you suffer from any type of daily pain, I need you to listen to this message very carefully. What we know about the root cause of pain is changing forever. As we age, aches and pains are natural, and we all are searching for an effective way to relieve pain without side effects and addiction. Let's be frank. We have all seen the horrors of the opioid crisis. You may even be affected personally, and that's where a pioneering medical scientist comes in, Clint Winters. You may have seen this world-renowned health expert featured in the national media as he unveiled a natural pain reliever that is taking the world by storm. Yes, I'm talking about Conilodyne, the 100% drug-free way to get full-body pain relief without dangerous pills. As you read this, Conilodyne has become the go-to pain reliever for over 1 million Americans and hundreds of professional athletes. It was so powerful, it was used even exclusively by UFC fighters, and those guys know a thing or two about managing pain. Now get this. Clint explains how Conilodyne is the only compound on earth that optimizes your body's natural painkillers called endorphins at any age. When taking daily, your body will fire back to relieve relieving pain like you were in your prime in just days. And let me tell you, I was skeptical, but it works. I've tried virtually everything and I have not felt this great in years. It's like all my daily aches and pains just faded away. My back, neck, joint, muscles all feel great and renewed. Best of all, Connelodyne does not make you feel the least bit groggy or drugged up. I feel great, alert, focused for the day ahead. And the best news, Connelodyne has no documented side effects after 14 years of extensive testing. Hear me when I say this, Connelodyne is absolutely the future of pain relief. So if you're dealing with pain, make sure to click on the link below and check out Clint's amazing informative report on 100% America-made Connelodyne. This innovation is changing lives by providing safe and powerful relief at 1/10 the cost of pain pills. Now here's the best part. When you click on the link below today, you can access the only Connelodyne product in the world for less than $1 per day. The private link and discount will stay active until midnight. Try Connelodyne risk-free for a full 90 days. You have nothing to lose. You are days away from finally beating pain forever. Go to trykono.com/x22 now and see for yourself.
Go around, make a really big deal, make people spend a lot of money because they don't want to produce the actual evidence that will shut down all of this immediately. It will shut it down in Pennsylvania, in Georgia, Arizona, Colorado. All of this would have been just pretty much shut down and everyone would have learned the truth. And that tells me a lot. That tells me that did cheat in the election. This is one of the biggest cover-ups that we've ever seen, because we're starting to see the pattern, which is very, very similar, and it all revolves around Dominion and ballots and hiding the information.
Yeah. So the you bring up a very good point. Hundreds of millions of dollars have been spent, both out of the litigation world and the time and expense of courts, and time and expense for defending against these people like Mark Elias. Hundreds of millions of dollars have been spent to prevent the people from having a side-by-side paper comparison of ballots and their votes that they contain with the machine tabulation. Hundreds of millions of dollars to prevent election transparency. That is really the crux of the matter in election systems examination all over the nation. In fact, all over the world. You look at elections like what happened with Mele in Argentina, in El Salvador, in Nicaragua, now in Venezuela, probably coming this next year in Bolivia. So the construct that the CIA has been running operations all over the world to try and install leaders under the guise of free and fair elections really is falling apart.
Yeah.
And the people, this is the ascension of the populist movement, not just here in the United States, but across the world. The people are they've had it. And now they are moving towards absolute transparency in elections. They are looking for increased security in the systems. They are looking for, if you were to ask the average person a year ago what the term chain of custody meant, I'm pretty sure they'd have looked at you like, I have no idea.
I agree.
Today, I think the vast majority of people understand that that chain of custody is ultimately important to make sure that their vote is not intercepted and that they are not disenfranchised by a ballot, either replacing their ballot or a machine that doesn't count their number, but counts the number of a fictitious or illegal ballot in the system. So you're spot on, man. The simplest solution to this is a side-by-side count. If you want to call it an audit, fine, call it an audit. If you want to call it a counter comparison, those words all apply. Mm-hmm. But to have somebody, a group of somebody's bipartisan, so nobody's getting away with cheating, make sure that every ballot is represented as a count for the machines. Now, one of the things, if we go back to November 30th, 2020, one of the things that really caught my attention in the ad hoc public hearing that we had about the Maricopa County election then was fractional vote counting. Mm. Okay, hold on a second. How do you have 0.92 votes? I thought that under one man, one vote doctrine laid out by the Supreme Court, that they were whole integers, mm-hmm. You know, 1, 0, 1, 0, not 1.2 here and 0.98 there. So that was the first clue that these machines are not tabulation machines, they're calculation machines. And I think because of that, that little slip, it was like the crack in the curtain for mm-hmm. us to see that the wizard behind the curtain isn't exactly what we've been led to believe.
So you believe, like when you watch the jury, you believe that at this point they realize that there is election interference, there is actual fraud, and they're not really believing the case against Tina Peters right now.
I think that there's significant questions in their mind. And, you know, here you always run the risk, and I think that the prosecution team probably forgot this. You run the risk when somebody is giving substantive information, when they're explaining either their role or something that is germane, in the opinion of the defense, germane to the case, and the prosecution stands up and says, objection, it's not relevant or outside of the scope or whatever reason they give, that leaves a question in the jury's mind. What are you trying to hide? What are you trying to obfuscate? And frankly, I think that's where the jury is at right now. Yesterday's questioning got us even deeper. And we, frankly, we score this either a plus one day, a zero, which means it was a dead heat, or a minus one day. The first day of the trial that I observed was a minus one. The second day was a plus one. Yesterday, I'm going to call it a zero. I don't think there was a clear winner on either side. But as we watch the jury, I think that they are coming to the point where they feel like they're being worn out. And I know I was asked by some folks on the team, should Tina take the stand? And my personal opinion is, when a defendant takes the stand, that means that they're no longer on offense. They're truly defending themselves. When the defendant doesn't take the stand, the defense can remain in an offensive posture and explain to the jury, the reason my client didn't take the stand is because the state has failed to make their case.
True.
No defense necessary. Now, they've made all kinds of claims. We've given you evidence to show that those claims are, if not nefarious, certainly fictitious, not supportable. But remember one thing. When you are faced with a series of facts and circumstances where you're put in the position of having to be a whistleblower, what would you do?
Yeah.
Would you allow the situation to persist and act as though nothing had happened? Or would you try to get to the bottom of it? And, you know, keep in mind that Tina Peters is a Gold Star mom, the mother of a Navy SEAL, killed while on duty in a training op. Both parachutes, the lines had been cut. Interesting.
Yeah.
So the ubiquitous they, the folks that want to crush a Joan of Arc, frankly, of the populist movement, the judge didn't want to allow her, for example, to go to a fundraising event to help pay her legal costs, prohibited her from leaving her home because he didn't want her to be put up as a martyr. Well, I hate to tell you there, bro, but that ship left the dock a long time ago. You have made
yep.
Tina Peters a martyr because of this malicious prosecution. And frankly, the judicial system in the state of Colorado should be ashamed. This is perhaps the lowest level I have ever seen a court system stoop to for somebody who, and when I say court system, I'm talking about the prosecution. The court should have looked at this and said, in fact, the grand jury should have looked at this and laughed it out of the grand jury room to say, no, this is so thin you can see through it. No, we're not issuing an indictment here.
Well, I think with all these cases with Tina, with Trump and many others, I think people are starting to realize how corrupt the system really is. And system in many different areas, they're just taking orders. And I think people are starting to realize that they're really not following the rule of law. They're just attacking people to protect themselves.
Yeah, I think that's true, Dave. Let's focus for just a moment on Arizona. We've got an attorney general here who is an extreme left, I would say even radical left acolyte. And in spite of jurisprudence that alternate electors are indeed an approved element in a presidential election. We go back to the 1960 case in Hawaii between JFK and Richard Milhouse Nixon. Nixon was declared the winner. The state Secretary of State deployed the notice to Congress. Hey, Nixon's the winner of the primary or winner of the contest, only to find out that there was a recount and that the Democrats had put up an alternative slate of electors. The judge in that case basically told the courtroom, it's a good thing that the Democrats did that because they protected their standing, they protected their position to be heard. Okay, let's fast forward to 2020. The state of Arizona, the GOP, put up an alternative slate of electors because there was a serious question about the potentially irredeemably compromised election in Maricopa County, which I'll remind folks once again, that's 63% of the vote in the state of Arizona. So as Maricopa County goes, so goes the rest of the state and ostensibly the nation, quite frankly. So we have this rabidly extreme left attorney general who, instead of prosecuting Maricopa County elections officials for a number of felonies involved in the way they ran the election in 2020 and 2022, she's decided to go after alternative electors who simply did their duty when called upon by their political party and should be protected under established jurisprudence. But instead, she's going to wage political warfare in the courtroom. And now she's trotting around saying, oh, I was able to flip Jenna Ellis. Well, okay, Jenna Ellis is flipped on everybody. She's probably the least dependable attorney. Quite frankly, I don't think her opinion is worth much more than rotten fish at this point. So, yes, I agree with you. The weaponization of the judicial system for political means, political ends, that is something that I'm not sure that this nation can survive, because we built our I served 21 years as a DPS officer, 18 of those in a law enforcement capacity. I stood for the rule of law. Every police officer who has ever taken the oath, except for the few bad apples that are in the bunch, has stood for supporting the rule of law. And now we have judges and prosecutors and the bar undermining that very construct for political purposes. And this mass psychosis of orange man bad that has been put up, this psychological operation, PSYOP, that has been foisted upon the American people by a number of groups, Molly Ball wrote about it very proudly, by the way, and I think it was the New York Times or maybe Time Magazine, about the secret initiative to protect democracy. Well, no, all it did was destroy democracy. You've got oligarchs from every major group, from communications to banks to labor to big government. They all wanted to destroy Donald Trump because he was going to screw with their cash flow.
Yep.
That's what this is about.
So do you think with everything you're seeing and people seeing the trial with Tina Peters, they're seeing what's happening with Georgia, where they definitely cheated in the election. I think it's proven now in Georgia that they did. Do you think this election as we approach 2024, do you think they have the same ability to cheat in the election like they did in 2020?
They have the same ability.
Can they pull it off?
Whether they pull it off, that's the seminal question. There are enough sets of eyeballs on this thing now that I think it's going to be really hard for the gangsters to do the same things that they did in 2020 and 2022. Now, no matter what we put up, and as a public policy person, I was just elected to be the nominee for state Senate in Arizona for Yavapai County, which is, I think, the third or fourth largest population-wise. It's home to Prescott, Arizona, which is the territorial capital before Phoenix became the state capital. From a public policy perspective, there are some key things that have to happen if the people want to have transparent, secure, free, and fair elections. One of the biggest threats is mail-in ballots and same-day registration. Now, legislators all over the country have been hornswoggled into believing that, oh, well, we've got to do this to make sure that every legal vote counts. Well, that's the problem. Individual responsibility has basically been abandoned for the state telling everybody, well, this is what you have to do. Never mind the fact that you've had 30 days to register to vote. Well, we're going to allow you to vote under special circumstances, which are you couldn't get your lazy ass off the couch to go register to vote. And by the way, you can register online to vote. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this all of these things have been thrown into the public policy mix because somebody thought it was a good idea. And they're afraid of what somebody might say about them. So, I mean, I'm hard and fast. Paper ballots counted by hand on election day at the precinct level. And I would even add, reported out before those ballots leave the site.
Yeah.
So that there can be no tampering with the number. Now, they can tamper with the ballots on their way down to whatever collection center. But if the number that arrives doesn't match the number that was sent, now you have a questionable contest, and that needs to go to court. Now, next question, will the courts be fair? So far, I think the courts are so imbalanced towards an extreme leftist position that I frankly don't trust the courts any longer. And that's why we have to win big at the polls so that there is no room for a legal challenge to the election. I am calling on every Republican. I don't care if you like Donald Trump or not. If you want Kamala Harris and this Walz guy, who's an absolute nut job.
Oh, yeah.
Charge of your country, then be prepared for the consequences. As they would say, brace for impact, because it's going to get ugly.
You know what's funny is that it seems like, was it Jamie Raskin and others, they're already planning for when Trump wins. Like Jamie Raskin, I don't know if you heard what he said, you know, that the Trump supporters are going to take to the streets and we're going to use the 14th Amendment. Biden, he was asked, I think there's an upcoming interview where they asked him if it's going to be a smooth transition of power. And he said, no, there isn't going to be a smooth transition of power, no matter if Trump wins or not. So to me, it feels like they're planning on creating a lot of chaos. Maybe what we're seeing out in the UK, where you're seeing, you know, a civil war brewing out there. I feel like that's what they want to kick off here in this country.
Yeah, all under the defend democracy label.
Right.
No, these people, the Democrat Party is, I'll never change my opinion just because of what I've seen over the last 12 years. Democrat Party is an ongoing criminal operation.
Yep.
That has seized power over the United States. Now, I'm not talking about Democrat voters. If you're a member of the party, I would advise you flee like a frightened school child, because they do not have your best interest at heart. They do not have the best interest of the nation at heart. They have their own best interest at heart. If they can line their pockets, Reverend Jackson, push, Act Blue, if they can line their pockets with your money, that and illegally, that is the definition of racketeering and an ongoing organized crime unit. And we've got to bust that up. I think that to your point, Raskin and Schiff and those guys, frankly, they should be, anybody that sat on that J6 panel should be examined for treason. What they did was illegal. It was an illegal select committee. In fact, let's go all the way back to January 6th, the actual day, and what was happening on the floor of the House when Paul Gosar was attempting to tell the Speaker of the House and the presiding member of the Senate, Mr. Pence, that Arizona wanted to return their electors constitutionally to the state of Arizona so that the legislature could ratify the results and they would have none of it. Well, what was missing on the floor that day was the constitutionally required quorum. In essence, we have an illegally formed federal government that is not of the people. It's of the special interests that was not put in place under the guise of a quorum by the legislature. That cannot be changed. It is a fact. So to say that there would be a smooth transition of power, criminals don't give up anything that they don't have to or that they aren't forced to. And that's what we have in charge now, is a cast of criminals who are going to do everything they can to cling to power that is not rightfully theirs. I think they've lost track of the idea that individuals who are in office are transitory magistrates. It's not their office. The offices belong to the people, and they are there for a short period of time to do the business for the people. Now tell me, with the worldwide wars that are going on right now, the fact that we are already embroiled in World War III, I think most Americans don't get it, but we are. With what's happened to our economy, with what's happened to our electoral structure, with what's happened to our currency, you really want more, 4 more years of that? Because we are the modern day Babylon. We are falling. And we're going to fall even further without corrective action. I think you're right. They've given up the idea that they can defeat Donald Trump. So they're going to try and manage him. They're going to try and put people in play within his administration that will block his agenda and all that. Okay. Every one of those individuals needs to be removed from their office. You know, when Barack Obama came into office, I think he terminated, 3,500 people right off the bat. Trump 2.0 needs to get the memo and do the exact same thing. All of those sensitive offices need to go. We need to have a full restructuring of the FBI and turn it into nothing more than a data analysis organization, take its law enforcement charter away, a full reformat of the Department of Justice, the elimination of the Department of Education, the restructuring of the Department of Commerce, Department of Defense. We need to get away from the DEI BS that has infiltrated our fighting force, because right now I'm pretty sure that we can't fight our way out of a wet paper bag. The individuals who are special operators deployed around the world are essentially naked, and they are not getting the level of support that they deserve, in spite of the fact that we are pouring billions, if not trillions, into the defense industrial complex. That's for big weapons with big price tags, when the Houthis are using $500 drones to affect their war. So we've got to have some change. And I think that the Democrats are maybe relieved to see that Donald Trump is in office, and somehow they get saved, because they're going to many of their plans are not going to be in play. So they get to continue the scam in their office for some time to come.
Do you think they'll try to stop the certification of the election?
Oh, guaranteed. Guaranteed they're going to try. But once again, they're going to spin it as like, well, we're trying to save democracy.
Yeah. You know,
just remember, an evil dictator will burn his city to the ground, his nation to the ground, to rule over the ashes. And that's exactly what the Democrat Party is up to. They are okay with the destruction of the United States just so they can continue to wage war against our Constitution. Because, you know, President Trump once said, has said a number of times, it's not me they're after. They're after you. I'm just in the way.
Right.
would take that one step further, Dave.
Okay.
The World Economic Forum, the Chinese Communist Party, Russia, as long as the U.S. Constitution exists, even though it's not properly followed by most of the courts in the land, as long as that document exists and it is the supreme law of the land, they cannot have free reign over the world. Because there's always going to be that light on the hill, that safety boat that everybody wants to try to come to. Because they can't stand life in their own country. So the American people are going to have a fight on their hands. We have a fight on our hands. And the sooner those who are sitting on the back bench get on their feet and start taking action, running for school board, running for county commission, holding their elected officials accountable, demanding answers, demanding things like paper ballots counted by hand on election day at the precinct level. Until they begin to demand those things and hold their elected officials accountable for getting those things, we are going to be a nation in peril.
I agree with that. Hey, Mark, thank you very much for being on the X22 Report Spotlight. If people wanted to see your work or support Tina Peters, where should they go?
Well, if they want to subscribe to my Substack, which is free for the most part, I mean, there is a $5 monthly subscription if you want to get behind the paywall, but they can go to markfincham.substack.com. That's M-A-R-K, F like Frank, I-N-C-H, E like Edward, M like Mark, .substack.com. Mm-hmm. And I'll be writing on Tina's situation in my Substack for quite a while. They can also, if they want to continue to support the work of the Election Fairness Institute, where I'm the executive director, they can visit goefi.org. That's goefi.org. And by the way, once again, I have to thank you and your followers, Dave. You have been a major part of our ongoing operational funding ever since you first put us on your show, I want to say 2 years ago. We've got people who have faithfully given for almost 2 years, $20 a month to keep us doing the kind of work that we're doing in the mapping. We've got 648 counties in the United States. Most of the critical counties have been mapped at the precinct level for the potential for voter registration irregularities. We've been doing a pretty significant money laundering investigation, which has crossed paths with child sex trafficking. We are waiting for a U.S. attorney in place that can take up that case. We have a number of state attorneys generals around the country who are interested in coordinating their effort to examine this. But it has to do with using real estate transactions and mortgage fraud to essentially enhance the political pot and launder money, probably for the cartels, to move that money into the political arena so that our elections can become more selections as opposed to elections. So markfincham.substack.com or goefi.org, either one of those places. If you want to reach out to me, you can click on goefi.org, click the contact, write me an email. I respond to every single one of them.
Great. I'll put all the links. No, thank you. And I'm very happy that you're getting the funding and everything that you need to do this, because it's very, very important to stop what is happening here and to expose what is happening here. So that I'm very happy about that. And I'll put all the links at the bottom of the video. Once again, Mark, thank you very much for being on the Spotlight. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.